Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed.
Man, listen, we appreciate y'all joining us. As you know, if you tuned in, you at the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon.
This is your boy Sam.
Hey man, and we're gonna talk Florida State football. I think we might even dive into a little bit of what is it called, investments, and so we're gonna do a little bit of everything, I guess. You know what I mean? Sam, man, how you doing, man?
Good, man. I'm chilling, man. Kind of getting over a little sinus infection. I'm fighting a sinus infection right now. You know what I'm saying?
I told him it had more to do with that COVID shot he had, but nah, he said he been had that. So
yeah, I had that months ago.
Oh, okay. Well, no, man. How that golf game going? I guess that's the thing. Like I heard you mention that golf game in a minute.
Dude, I got so busy working and shit, I haven't even had time to get out there. And all I've been doing is chipping at the house. So what have I been doing? I've been fighting this damn sinus infection. Oh, I got into Dogecoin. I got back into Dogecoin, which I'm kicking myself because if I would have never got out of Dogecoin, dude, I would have been at $50,000 right now. I wouldn't be in no rush to go to work, bro.
I was gonna say, boy, that'll have me sick right now. That'll have me sick. I saw you posted that somebody lost 18 grand or something like that in a day, and I was like, you wouldn't be able to sleep. Shit, 18,000.
Yeah, bro went in. He bought into Dogecoin at 43 or 44 cent, which it has never been that high. So I'm like, why would you even buy in at that high of a number at 40 something cent in Dogecoin? So it ended up dropping back down to like 25 cent, but it's stabilized now. It's stabilized at about 20 cent to 30 cent. It's right in that little mark right now. So, and all the projections right now are saying Dogecoin is going to go to a dollar, and it's going to be at 50 cent by the end of May. So they saying 50 cent by the end of May, a dollar by the end of the year. And then I actually just found out, right? So at first, because matter of fact, I was talking to Ingram Smith about this because he called me on the phone. We was talking about this, and he was like, what's up with Dogecoin? And I was like, dude, first of all, I thought Dogecoin was a complete joke. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I thought the same thing, yeah.
Right, so I was
following all the Reddits and stuff like that, but, you know, I was thinking to myself, it just seemed like a joke.
Yeah, I thought it was a big, you know, like, just this big joke, you know what I'm saying? No, you know, I ain't tripping on it, nothing like that, but I was thinking it was a joke, and it started off as a meme.
Yeah.
It was just like a little Japanese dog on a little coin, people making jokes. And so I had bought in it like when it was 1 cent. I bought it when it was 1 cent. Like I put like $300 in there when it was 1 cent. This is back in January. And the end of the month around my birthday time, it jumped up like from 1 cent to like 5 cent. And I had made like I made like $2,000-$3,000 off of it because it was, you know, because I mean when you buy something at 1 cent. The 2 cent is you know, that's 50%. You know right. What I'm saying? So it had made like, and I was selling off every time I got to over $1,000, I would sell off. So once I get to 2,000, I would sell off another thing, I sell off. And I ended up getting out the whole thing, and I got out at about, I think I got at 7 cent, 8 cent, I think at the time, 7 cent, 8 cent. And I stopped looking at it. Like, I think I left like $10 or $20 in there, or whatever. Because the people get to, oh, we're going to keep pumping Dogecoin. And I'm thinking, like, whatever, dude, this shit keep going back down. They got all the way up to 18 cent at one time. So it dropped, it dropped all the way down to like 4 or 5 cents. And it just hovered at 4 or 5 cents. I was like, okay, it's probably done, whatever. Then I think it was Friday or Wednesday or Thursday or whatever. That motherfucker shot like 14 cents. And I'm like, yo, this shit went to 14 cents. I was like, let me put $300-$400 in there, whatever. And then I was like, dude, this ain't making no sense. Cause it shot from 14 cent And I put my money out overnight because I went to 20 cents. I was like, let me put my money out overnight because I don't want to wake up and everything gone.
Right.
And, you know, I had my sinus infection, so I've been kind of sleeping a lot.
Yeah.
I wake up, it's at 25 cents. I'm like, yo, what the hell is happening with Dogecoin, bro? I'm like, yo. So I've been reading a lot of groups, a lot of things, and actually Dogecoin has actually came out with their own verified coin.
Okay.
They actually have a coin now. And I found out that you can now buy a crypto wallet. It's like almost like a credit card. And you can exchange any type of crypto on this little, you know, credit card thing. Let me see if I can pull it up. Wallet. Yeah. But anyway, so you can pull this little crypto wallet you can use, and it's like, and so apparently Mark Cuban said that he's going to start taking Dogecoin at the Dallas Mavericks game.
All right. See, that's the jump. That's what I'm trying to figure out. What's the jump? What's all right. So now I'm going to have to get in. Yeah. Cause see, like I told you, I've been in Bitcoin for a minute. I really ain't messed with none of the other cryptos cause I don't really trust it. And so when you were telling me about it, I was like, I hear you. And then, like I said, I started following some of the Reddits, subreddits or whatever. And I was like, all right, I hear it, but I can't just be throwing money around like that. You know what I mean? So I was like, all right, let me see what's going on with it. I'm real, real picky about my investments. Like, I usually do a lot of research before I ever invest. And so now I was like, you know, I'm seeing you talk about it, and I'm seeing it move up and more Reddit's coming out. And then you hit me up yesterday and you was like, man, it's supposed to hit $1. And I was like, wait a minute, it's supposed to hit $1 from like 8 cents, or what is that, 20 cents? I was like, shit, even though I get in the 9 at 25 cents, it's going up to $1. And you're talking about 50 cents by the end of May, I'm still doubling my money. So yeah, I'm at the point where I'm getting ready to invest immediately.
Yeah, like, dude. The one group I was in, this dude bought in at $1,000 at a penny, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say he got close to $1 million. I got to do the math on it. It's something crazy. Like, it was like $1,000, and I think he got like $50,000, $500,000. It's something like that. He hit a crazy amount of number, a crazy ass number, dude. But yeah, so they saying that coin is going to start listing Dogecoin also. The coin, you know, coin just came out with their IPO, yeah. Which I was going to buy the IPO, but I was like, dude, their IPO finna come out and it's going to either skyrocket or it's going to tank. You know, right. And I was like kind of afraid to get into the IPO, man. I really was.
That's how I felt with Twitter. That's exactly how I felt with Twitter when Twitter said they was going public.
Man, I was mad. But yeah, they say Dogecoin gonna hit $50 in 2025.
$50
Think about that. By 2025, it's gonna hit $50 by 2025. That's actually,
so if you get in it, you'll be there. Yeah. So you get in it 2025, you'll be a millionaire. You get in it not shit. You can get in it now with $1, and at 2025, and still make a million if it's hitting $50.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna hit $50, dude. So they say it's gonna hit $50 in like, and the fact that the thing that, like I told Ingrid, the thing that made me feel a little bit better about it now is that they actually have a physical coin now. They actually have a physical coin, and people starting to actually trade on it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The 2025 thing scares me, though, because, and I was telling Ingrid this, I feel like because these coins, it's going to kind of devalue the dollar a little bit. So I feel like it's going to push the federal government to legalize drugs. So people can buy, because I mean, that's all crypto is about, is for drug dealers and people to put their money into something where they're not having all this cash on hand, you know, and they don't have to worry about being robbed.
I'm gonna say, you into a whole deeper, darker criminal link now at this point. I mean,
but that's what crypto's for, though. It's for drug dealers and traffickers.
That's not originally what it was for, but I mean, that's what people using it as now. Yeah,
that's what it's for, bro. Like, that's who's driving the market.
I'm not getting into nobody drug dealer business. What I'm gonna tell you is that I know that's not originally what it was set up for, but now it make a whole lot of sense because ain't no questions asked. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. I can throw my money in and nobody gonna ask no questions. And not only that, I can take and make money, which means I can launder the money. And at this point, you can get into the federal government, not the federal government getting involved in all sorts of stuff, which, right, like you said, that now they're gonna tax it, and now you're talking about all sorts of other problems. I don't know. I know it's too early to tell. I'm just trying to make my quick million and get out with my legal money from my hard-earned paycheck on this recorded line.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know nothing about the drug dealers and all that stuff. I'm gonna tell you at this point, I'm trying to make some money, man, so I can have better for me and mine's, and the money that I'm putting in was obtained legally.
Yeah, but if you think about it though, the government is getting taxed. You are getting the tax off of it because once people pull their money off of
you
the
got
money they made in crypto,
mm-hmm.
now you can tax that. Why drugs still being legal?
Right.
If you really think about it.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Which means they may not care then. Like
yeah,
if you still filing out and the government getting their cut, usually they don't care. That what brings drug dealers down is a lot of time, not necessarily the sale, is the fact that you made a whole lot of money without paying us anything.
Right.
As long as the government get they cut, I don't think they really care too much about drug dealers in all, you know, seriousness. But that's a whole nother conversation. Yeah, we're talking about a whole nother conversation.
They tell my brand ain't gonna buy doors so he can buy a Fuller's contract.
Hey, listen, if I get enough, I'll front the cash. I absolutely will front the cash. No man, Fuller's gonna do a great job this year.
That coin did come out. It was stupid expensive, but I knew that was gonna happen, man. But I do think Doge going to a dollar. I think he say, Kobe Noah say he bought it at 2 cents, sold at 8, and back in at six cents, and been holding ever since. Damn, yeah, that's a good hold. My cousin that got into it, when I told him to get into Dogecoin, he got into it at 10 cents. And he only put $100 in there. And he hit me up Friday. He was like, bro, look how much money I got in my account. And I was like, yeah, bro, I told you it's got some legs on it. It got some legs on it. And plus, they call it the poor man's crypto because everybody can buy it. So everybody can put $100, $200 in there and keep, you know, and move the price. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I'm not telling people to invest in it because I'm not a financial advisor, but I wouldn't want to miss the wave. I wouldn't want to miss the wave. And they got a Reddit group that does a lot of pumping and dumping in that stock that you can look at. They'll tell you when they're going to dump it and when they're going to pump it. I can see if I could try to get that link out to everybody because I've been in a lot of Reddit groups. Reddit groups and Discord groups on this Dogecoin. Yeah, man. But let's get into some FSU stuff, man. We got a little bit more people here now.
All right, man. Well, listen, I mean, it's been a busy week as always. You know what I mean? It seems like we can't really have very much that there's – Well, let's dive in. Let's talk about the recruiting first. You know what I mean? We talked about it last week where we looked at it and said, all right, we had more people than athletes in the Under Armour game combined, right?
Yeah.
When you look at how many recruits we had on campus, and we talked about it, you know, it was because basically Florida and Miami wasn't having recruits on their campus for the spring game. So we benefited from that. And I guess what we've seen is a net zero. We've gained 2 recruits, we lost 2 recruits. Tell me, I guess, your opinion on what's happened, I guess, in recruiting since spring game and even before spring game.
It's still like the hype don't match the results, right? It kind of feel like the hype don't match the results. I think kids are like in a very much like a wait and see process with the staff and what's going to happen with the season, which actually scares me because I'm convinced that they're going to have like a top 10 class, regardless of record. I'm kind of convinced of that, but okay. After this weekend, I kind of want to back off of that a little bit because I thought it came out of the weekend with 5 or 6 commitments, and then the recruits start building bonds and they'll basically keep each other in the boat. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't think the season's gonna be good. So if the kids are waiting for the season to decide whether they want to be committed to FSU, then that's actually kind of scary. If that's the mindset the kids have, I don't know that to be true. You know what I'm saying? And then some of the takes recently that they've taken kind of tells me that they don't expect to get some of the top notch guys that they expect also. You know what I'm saying? Because it seemed like they just recruited 2 tight ends. They got 2 tight ends, the guy Pittman and the guy Brian Courtney, the guy the 0-star guy, but I guess, you know, Bird just bumped him up to 3 stars, which is fine. I mean, it doesn't matter. But I think the big thing is how do they get these guys in? Because, you know, the big dogs going to start recruiting in a minute. And once these big dogs start recruiting, how do you kind of, you know, can you beat those guys out, basically? And I'm kind of concerned about that a little bit.
Well, I can tell you this. I think the thing that concerns me was – Mike's whole thing was, I don't lose recruits. You know what I mean? We heard it all last year, whatever. He wants the guys who's committed to us regardless, and they've shut it down, and they're going to continue to say, well, regardless of record, whatever, we're going to stick with Florida State. Okay. Yeah. You know what I mean? But now we're seeing guys decommit.
Right.
And so my thing is, well, what happened? What's the difference? You know what I mean? And then I look at it and I say, well, we talked about it. You know, people were saying, oh, they're waiting until the season to play out so before guys can recruit and then they have an influx. And we talked about last week with Perry. Was this the right approach? You know, you can't handle the truth. Pocket, what's going on, man? He say Nico said there's a few silent commits or whatever. Okay. Well, I mean, I hear you, but at some point, you gotta build momentum. Like, recruiting is a moment. Like, when we talked about Tennessee last year, it was a momentum. You know what I mean? Like, we know that we said on here they were cheating. Hey, man, they cheating. We know that or whatever, because nobody's getting recruits. They getting five stars left and right or whatever. Some recruiting going. I mean, we knew there was some violations going on. But at this point, it's like, you gotta build some momentum, man. And all right, they got some guys who gonna shock the world or whatever, but what they waiting on? You know what I mean? Like, what really, what are they waiting on? What are we waiting on? What's Mike Norvell waiting on? And then, like, they appear to end June 1st. What happens when they get the chance to go to Alabama? And what happens when they get a chance to go to Oregon and see those facilities? And Texas A&M? Like, there's a lot of places who are not building facilities already have facilities up and running. Also have had better seasons. Also have done a lot more. So at this point, I look at it and I say, what are we doing after we can get 100 kids and we get nothing to show for it? Like, we get nothing that comes out of it. We lose two guys, we gain two guys, so we basically end up with a net zero. Like, what happens? You know what I mean? Like, what's the plus side? What are we missing and what are we not doing in recruiting? You're on mute.
I think Fredo, 12 Fredo, got a good point. Recruits are waiting to June 1st, you know, to come back on campus. That's a good point. I mean, they could be waiting to June 1st and they could make their commitments then. I mean, I could understand that.
But June 1st means everybody can see. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So that doesn't, I don't think that plays in FSU's favor, in my opinion. Like, you know what I mean? That dead period being over with, I don't think helps Florida State in any way, because essentially what you're saying is June 1st, that was when they now had to say, yeah, that's what, yeah, okay. He's not saying they choose an FSU. Yeah, that's what I mean. I, like, you wait till June 1st, and now they get a chance to see some of these other programs.
Right.
I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you want to be here, commit. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't necessarily buy into the silent commit thing. I know a lot of people have said that, and they believe in what you know Nico's saying. And I don't know Nico at all, but Nico announced, Travis announced,
but you know,
and the guys who wanted to be here already did. So.
Yeah, but you know, some kids is going to say they silently committed because, first of all, it's two reasons why they silently commit. I think I was talking to Adrian about this on his podcast. So a kid might want to play the money game, far as, you know, I'm going to silently commit to you, but I want to continue to collect these bags when I go on these visits to other schools. You know what I'm saying? So they're going to silently, right? You know, that happens. All right.
Yep.
So that's one part of the game. But we're not really recruiting that type of kid that's going to garner that type of attention where, you know, bags come into the conversation. I don't personally think. I mean, other than Travis Hunter, I mean, but other than that, I don't see a lot of top. And then you look at places like Kentucky. Kentucky just recruited they just got three top 200 kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's Kentucky, for God's sakes. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like,
but we know what Stoops' pedigree is. Stoops been able to recruit. Yeah,
yeah, he's always been a good recruiter. I was talking about that yesterday on the timeline, how he's really underrated because he finds a lot of good defensive gems, dude, like really solid defensive players.
He will always have him a defensive end. He's never lacking in the defensive end.
Linebackers.
He'll find guys and put him in the pros, too.
Yeah. Something else, I kind of feel like FSU kind of missed the opportunity because I think I would have made my announcement on the football-only facility during that spring game.
I thought they did, though.
No, not really.
I thought they came out there. I went at the game. I thought they did something. They didn't do a presentation or whatever because it seemed like it came out like right after the spring game.
They talked about it, but I thought they were going to actually like present it, like put it on the big jumbo screen.
Yeah, I guess that's what I assumed that's what happened because like we saw the video shortly after the spring game ended. So I thought like, okay, everybody else was getting a chance to see what people saw in the stadium. That's not what happened.
They should have really opened it up where kids could really look at that shit, like really look at it. But so we'll get into that. And I want to get into the football facility because I got pictures of it. And then you look at the guy they just recruited, Brian Courtney and Randy Pittman. I like Randy Pittman. And I'm not as down on the guy, Brian Courtney. I just feel like it's kind of fast. And I didn't, it made me think, like, well, what do you think of your tight ends? Because, damn, you recruit a lot of tight ends. Like, I know you want to flip that position, but damn, that's a lot of tight ends they recruited, man. Let me go look at this real quick. I want to make sure I got this right because this is
why you looking that up, man. Yeah, we've questioned, I guess, their kind of their recruiting strategy for a while now. You got a priority, man. And in my opinion, your priority should be offensive line and playmakers.
Right.
Period. You know what I mean? Like I guess it's still kind of up in the air what position Travis Hunter gonna play. Some people saying DB. I think he should play wide receiver because you need a playmaker. And every single time we see a highlight, that dude is making a unbelievable catch or is getting open. I think you need him on offense more so than you need him on defense. Somebody I've heard people say he gonna play both ways. I think T. Wig told me he gonna play both ways. I don't know if that necessarily works out still. Because I would much rather have him, you know, in one position exclusively. But I think, in my opinion, you need to be recruiting playmakers and you need to be recruiting some offensive tackles specifically.
Right.
I don't care really about tight ends. Like, I just don't. Like,
well,
unless you're telling me you give me a Kyle Pitts, so you know what I mean? Like, you getting that, which I don't believe that's what that is. Unless you're telling me you're getting Kyle Pitts, man.
Yeah, but his tight end position for Norvell in this offense is important.
Like it is important. It is, but how many you gonna hit on? Like you can't keep you if you don't have if you can't block it up for the guy and you're not getting a difference making tight end. Who cares how many tight ends you bring in? It is an important position, but right. You need to have a difference making tight end. So as opposed to throwing four average tight ends out there, or four below average tight ends, or three below average tight ends, and one good tight end,
yeah,
find you one elite tight end. And do that, you know what I mean? And get you beef up that offensive line. Because if you can't throw the ball to the tight end, it don't really matter how many tight ends you bring in.
Well, they got – so as far as I've seen, they got four, you know, tight ends in the last two cycles. I guess they're not high on Boatwright, apparently, because Boatwright doesn't really play like that. And they don't talk about it. So I don't think they're high on Boatwright. And, you know, I feel like they should just move Josh Burrell to that move tight end with him and Jackson
but clearly, West. But they made – what's his name? A captain. So, you know, he's – I mean, that's his spot.
Who?
What's the boy tight end? They made a captain this week. You know I'm bad with names.
Wyatt Rector?
Rector, thank you. They made Rector. Yeah, they made it real. Yeah. His parents was on Twitter, you know, basically saying they made him a captain. His players.
Maybe he has special teams.
No, he was an offense. No, this what it was special teams or something else captain. I had to look at the tweet, but you know, all I'm saying is in my opinion, you don't have McDonald, I think, is your best tight end. And I don't think that's even questioned, right?
Right.
But who they're bringing in, who is at McDonald's level? Which one of those guys is going to be even at McDonald's level? And I don't think he's special. I think he's a very good tight end.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, which one of those guys that you bring out of the four recruits, which one of those guys you bringing in that's going to be special?
Well, we'll see. I'm not going to bash him too hard on this recruiting situation. I'm going to wait and let it play out. I mean, I'm going to make my jokes on Twitter because that's what I'm going to do. But I guess my bigger point. And you know, it's crazy because the only reason I even make jokes about the recruiting and everything is because this idea that everything was just going to get better with a coaching change, it was never, I never believed in that. And then another thing you keep looking at is every week we keep hearing this staff is a great recruiting staff, great recruiting staff. I'm like, dude, where's the evidence? Like, what are y'all looking at?
Well, here's the funny thing. Like, anytime we get anybody, they tell us, oh, man, see, they told us, y'all said he couldn't recruit. And I keep saying, again, the zero-star guy, we was pumped up as if, like, we looked at his offer list. Now, Kentucky just got a guy, and his offer list was Alabama, Clemson, whatever. And
Michigan State.
All top-tier programs. We had a guy, and his recruiting list was – his offer list was Harvard, Yale, some other schools, whatever.
UMass.
Like,
yeah.
These aren't the same players. And so I'm not going to look at that and tell everybody, see, I told you he'd recruit. Or, man, he's able to find these gyms.
But we don't even know if they're gyms yet. You're not going
to know. That's what I mean. How could I assume that this guy is a gym when his recruiting list looked like this and Kentucky found a guy whose recruiting list looked like this? So you're telling me Mike Norvell is smarter than everybody else in the room? We've seen this story of the guy who believes he's smarter than everybody else in the room. It never really works out that well. You know what I'm saying? So, in my opinion, I'm going to read this tweet, though. Wyatt had his exit meeting with FSU head coach Norvell yesterday. Drum roll, please. They made Wyatt an offensive and special teams captain. So,
I mean, whatever that means. I don't even know.
All I'm telling you is that don't sound like Burrell is going to end up, you know. I think we thought that he may have come in and that'll be a better position for him. He would fill in for Wyatt Rector, and Wyatt Rector goes and have a seat. That clearly not what the staff believes.
Well, we'll see. I'm curious to see how all this stuff plays out. I still think they're going to produce offense. I still think they're going to produce offense this year. And I'm more bullish on them offensively than I think most people. I think they do enough good things on offense that I think they will produce on offense. So we'll see.
Let me ask you this. How though without an offensive line? I mean, we watched the spring game. They look bad against our defensive line. I don't think our defensive line is very special.
Well, we know. I just think they're going to find a way.
Oh, man, you on that page. You on that page.
I do.
You just holding it together with hopes and wishes.
I feel like when you put the starting offensive line together with Love Taylor and put the whole offensive line together.
Now, that's true.
I think they'll be just good enough to move the ball against teams. I mean, I thought they did a good job last year moving the ball against teams.
I didn't think they were bad.
So,
I mean, you get them another year. Travis was running the offense because he brings a different. You get him another year
in the offense. I think they're going to be a little bit more explosive than they was last year because they didn't have Terry, none of last year. So, I think they'll be a little bit better. So, let's transition to the football only facility.
All right, man. Yeah, Sam's gonna pull up the facility. So, you know, looks like we finally got a layout of what it's supposed to look like, and I think it's been a long time coming. I guess, you know, as Sam pulls it up, I give you my thoughts, man. I think it's necessary. You know what I mean? We talked about, you know, Jimbo Fisher talked about this a while ago, and we said, man, you absolutely should have given Jimbo whatever he wanted, and he kept saying, you know, this was what 4 or 5 years ago. Hey man, we need it. Maybe even before then. Yo, we gotta upgrade our facility. We need a football only facility. And they said, you just won a championship. Shut up. You need it when you won this previous championship.
Right.
And Jimbo was basically saying, I hear you, but
yeah,
like times is moving. Like you gotta be ahead of the curve, not behind it. Don't be reactive, be proactive. We need this. We won one, but if we're gonna stay ahead of the game, we need it. They continue to tell them to shut up, right? And then we saw a bunch of people upgrade facilities. We are now in the, you know, what I think a lot of people are saying is the worst team they've ever seen in Florida State history.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've decided to kind of enact that. I'm glad they've done it. And I actually like the layout. I think it looks really nice. It adds a different element whenever when you bring it. But let me ask you, I guess, did they miss the window? Like, did they decide to do this too late?
No, they didn't miss the window. They didn't miss the window on it. I think, well, yeah, they did it too late, but I mean, it's never bad to put this, you know, to put it out there. The one thing though, like my initial thoughts on it when I first looked at it, I like it, but then I was thinking to myself like, damn, you know, cause I don't been to Tallahassee, like, where is people going to park it? Because, like, that is, like, they, you know, they have, like, such limited parking at Tallahassee. They got to build a freaking parking garage, dude. But
They got a parking garage. They're going to have to build another parking garage.
Another parking garage. Yeah. That's ridiculous, dude. But I actually do like the layout. I like how they kind of cut the other side of the field in half a little bit.
Yeah.
Right up in there, you see how they cut the side of the field right there in half a little bit right there? I like that. And that you still got the indoor facility, which I like that. So, I mean, you still got more football field in Miami by a long shot. So
University of Coral Gables can't compete with this one.
So I do like that. And they say that what's going to be in the facility, I want to make sure I read all this right, because the one thing I was kind of like, well, damn, I wish they had a little bit more stuff to play with in there, but they don't. But I mean, it'd be cool. But they were saying they got 13 position meeting room, an indoor walkthrough meeting area, locker room, of course, dedicated recruiting lounge and suite, the football offices, private event space, which I think is a good thing. Because if with a private event space, that means you actually can monetize it a little bit.
That's exactly right.
What I'm saying? So that'd be good. You know, I was thinking to myself, I hope they build something within it where they can monetize, you know, even if you put
like, exactly right. Cause now you can now have it pay for itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, people can rent it out for weddings. You can do all sorts of things with that. Yeah. I mean, we see companies do it with the Jaguars, what it's called, the suites, whatever the little suite is. I mean, I think I went to a prom there. Back in when the stadium was first built. So yeah, absolutely. It becomes very useful because it then ends up help pay for the facility that you invested your money in. So
yeah. And they was talking about and then they got the walkthrough chambers and stuff, and they got a cryotherapy. I want to get to that part on here.
No, what they've done is they've essentially gotten up with the times. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's why I asked you if it was too late. No, they finally got caught up with where everybody else, I don't want to say everybody else, but where most of everybody else is and has been.
Yeah.
I'm glad, you know, what 12 Fredo say, we by 8 years, you know, we're 8 years behind. We are, you know, I mean, we were reactive. We weren't proactive, and we should have been. And so by the time this is built, we'll be now 10 years behind. And these are some of the things that comes into recruiting, which is why I say when this dead period is over with, I don't think it necessarily plays in the Florida State's favor. Because if I go to Tallahassee campus and I say, you know, we go to Tallahassee, and as much as I love Florida State's campus and I love everything about it,
right,
it still is, you know, a bit out there. That's ahead of Florida. It's definitely ahead of Miami.
Well, Florida, we're going to have theirs up by this year, though.
Yeah, but I mean, it's ahead of where Florida is now. And right, like you said, but they will have, you right, they'll have it up by this year. But it's ahead of Florida. It's well ages ahead of where Miami is.
Right.
But at the same time, you're behind a lot of other schools who you need. It's behind Georgia, it's behind Clemson, it's behind Bama, it's behind Texas A&M, it's behind a lot of different things. So at this point, I'm glad they've done it. Like I love the facility. Like when you talk about cryotherapy and stuff like that, man, these are new age things. But these are things that other schools have been doing for a little while now. I looked at LSU facility. LSU's is dope. You know what I mean? Like you look at their players' locker room. They got nap stations. They seats turn into. I mean, so yeah, it's super dope. You know what I mean? Like it's super dope. What some of these other teams are doing. And so I'm glad we decided to join that arms race. But I look at it and I say, well, damn, if we had done this, you know, back when Jimbo was asking for it, would we be here right now? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, and I know we talked about, you know, we've talked about and chronicled Jimbo's problems and why, you know, he had to leave and so on and so forth. But had we given him what he asked for when he asked for it, as opposed to Wayne said, being a day late and a dollar short, I think we'd be in a different place right now. But no, I'm glad. I'm absolutely glad.
You know, it's crazy. They've done it. It's crazy to me because it's like the football, Jimbo couldn't pack the football on the facility up with him and take it with him. I mean, you had to build it for him. You was building it because that's just where football was moving at.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like that was always so weird to me. Like building all this stuff.
And you weren't doing it for Jimbo.
You were doing it
for your program. Yeah, you were doing it for your program. Whether Jimbo stayed or left, you was still had a facility, and now the next coach can use it to recruit.
Right.
And use it to help himself recruit.
And you could have been monetizing it the whole time too. And then, you know, you think about it like I was talking to somebody about this, like we talking about Florida State and you know, all the things they don't do and do, and you know, when you come out that national championship, the first thing you're supposed to have done after the national championship was what upgrades do we need to make? Because at this point, the people that's gonna donate money, you're hotter than fish grease. You know what I'm saying? And it just kind of like put some new seats in here, touched up some paint, and that was it.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Champions Club and some other very small
things.
I mean, Florida State is, they cheat. They just are. I mean, and you cannot get in this arms race trying to, like, you know, shop out of the bargain bin. And that's what they've done. They've done a whole lot of bargain bin shopping. Let me we ain't gonna do this. We're gonna try to do a little bit of this. We're gonna try and add a little bit of that. I mean, but man, when you talk about you behind South Carolina and Vanderbilt, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
come on, man. It's problematic. You know what I mean? Like, again, I don't want to take away from the fact that they're building this. It'll be, you know, it'll be finished what they had 2024, I believe. 2020. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll be finished 2024. Great. Thank you. glad for 2024. I'm glad they, you know, they're working it. But man, get that thing done.
And so while you're playing, if my Dodge coin hit where it's supposed to hit it in 2025, I go ahead and add a little extra. You know what I'm saying? Add an extra cruise in that thing.
Yeah. Go ahead and get you a Sam's meeting hall or whatever it is.
I go ahead and add them a little jacuzzi and another cold tub. You know what I'm saying? No big.
Yeah. We can throw some flat screens in there. Yeah. Throw some flat screens in there. You're right. When it hit that dollar, yeah, we'll take it. Yeah. Like, man, all the players getting their own personal iPad or something, whatever.
Yeah, it's not a problem. It's not a problem, man. You know, so it, but you know, it's crazy that it just took them this long. Like, it's just so crazy to me because I don't know, man. I Alford is a big time hire. Man, he was the guy that you supposed to, he was the type of guy you supposed to hire when Jimbo was talking about leaving.
Mm-hmm.
He was the type of guy you should have been hiring. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it's just kind of, you know, I don't know, man. It's just aggravating, man.
It makes us feel like
we second rate. Like we feel like we losing games like a second rate program, and we feel like a second rate program. We do shit like a second rate program. That's just ridiculous.
They won a championship and got comfortable. I mean, and they assumed, all right, well, good. We now have it. We don't have to do anything anymore because Florida State can show that we can win without it. As opposed to looking at that team and saying, nah, that's a special group. You know what I mean? Like, We saw the videos yesterday of Telvin Smith and Freddie Stevenson and all those guys being back on campus. Yeah. And just seeing those guys, you know what I mean? Those was a different breed, man. Like, them dudes was just a different breed of football player. They was like the passion of that you see from those guys, you just don't see it in these players now. And so when you look at Jameis and Freddie and Telvin and those guys who made it, and LaMarcus and who made up those teams, those ain't the teams we working with right now. You know what I mean? And as opposed to them saying, all right, we got to keep getting those guys. And Jimbo's telling you, this is how we get those guys. This is how we keep getting them. We gotta join this thing. We said, no, man, you got them before. You got them before, do it again.
Right.
And it was a problem. We celebrated that national championship for 2 years. And we always kind of questioned Nick Saban when he won a championship. And he'd be like, no, we're going to celebrate for 24 hours. Then we got to get back to work.
Right.
And we kind of looked at that and was like, God, dog, man, enjoy yourself. No, he understands. This is the time to capitalize. This ain't the time to celebrate it. We can celebrate it later. Like, history will celebrate these championships. The fans will celebrate these championships. Let them carry that on for a full year. They got a full year to celebrate that and enjoy themselves. I got to get back to work. And our program got to get back to work because as right now, we hot. And if we want to continue to be hot, we got to build on it
right now. I wonder, does that feeling of we don't have to do this, how did that filter down into the culture when you're talking about players sacrificing everything to win and the way you don't pay them any respect by upgrading things? Like, I mean, like Nick Saban was saying that they asked him about the stuff that he was getting for the players, like far as a barbershop and all these different things in the Alabama facility, you know, meal preps. And I think Alabama got now where they got like their own like almost like townhouses for the players, basically. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, you know, we ask these guys to do all this stuff. It's the least we can do is make sure they're as comfortable as possible. You know what I'm saying? To make sure, which, like he was saying, like, we can't monetarily give them money, but your four-year experience should be the best four-year experience that you're going to get anywhere that you ever go.
He's found the loopholes. You understand what I mean? Like, in other words, I'm not giving y'all money, but I'm giving y'all money.
But I'm making this.
Yeah, I'm investing in the guys who are making me better. And so at this point, if I go over there and I see, man, these dudes got their own townhouses. Nobody really seemed to be struggling that much. Everybody, you know what I mean? Like, for some reason, everybody eating. But I go to these other campuses and they, you know, they living, they look, I want to say they struggling, but they ain't living the same lifestyle. To me, it's easy.
Right.
It's easy to say, all right, well, shit, I'm choosing these dudes. These dudes living good. Or I can go out here and struggle. It's a no-brainer when you talk about the top athletes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Wayne, they not broke. They're cheap. Like, FSU has been cheap. Like, I've been saying this for longer. FSU is cheap. they will not spend the money that they need. Instead, they get comfortable, they get complacent, and they say, all right. I mean, yeah. We got this. We've done it without. And the thing is, they have. And so it gives – they almost like – they can almost justify their behaviors because we won through all throughout the 90s. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Early 2000s. Hey, yeah. Man, we got this. We need nothing. We need no facilities. It was just the garner and gold, the spear and the helmet. We can do this. We don't need nobody else. Jimbo then came in and very quickly got to a national championship.
Right.
You know what I mean? Got us to a championship. Didn't need anything. Right. So they're looking at it saying, man, we don't need all this. We just need the right person in there. Get the right person for the job. Florida State recruits itself, and you don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
And what Jimbo was trying to tell you is that's not how it's working anymore. I hear what you're saying. We've done it. I put together a hell of a recruiting staff. I put together a hell of a coaching staff.
Right.
But the times are changing, and we need these things in order to stay ahead in the arms race. And they said, we've done it like this for 30 years.
Right.
Bobby Bowden didn't need it. Nobody right. else, you know what I mean? So we're going to win without it. Yeah, meanwhile, Clemson was saying, shit, we got to do some things. Like, we got to change some things up. We got to do some things differently because we want to be with the big boys. And us, as the big boys, were saying, we ain't got to do nothing. And not a little engine that could on pasture.
Yeah, and I think that led into a lot of the culture problems. You know what I'm saying? I would always say, like, it starts from the top and it works its way down. I really do believe that because – I mean, they was wearing Jimbo thin because they didn't want to hire the coordinators that he wanted. He had to fight for every analyst that he ever got. I mean, even now we're seeing where we got former players that's been a part of championship teams that are getting into coaching, and they're being hired everywhere but Florida State. And it's kind of like it's kind of aggravating. You know what I'm saying?
That's a very good transition, Sam. Like. I mean, we seen Antonio Cromartie, a guy who was passionate, who we know is passionate about Florida State football. Like, we ain't gotta ask Crow if he's passionate about Florida State football. We know that. We saw his passion come out last year. He's tuned in every single game. He's watching it. He's breaking stuff down. He's telling you how he feels about it. And you say, all right, this guy says, I'm clearly wanted a job.
Right.
And I can only assume Florida State didn't offer or didn't offer him what he was looking for.
Right.
So now what happens? Another coach values your guys more than you value your guys. And then we see yesterday Rashad Greene. And so the excuses became, I mean, we don't know if these guys can coach. We don't know anything. It's not about whether these guys can coach. They're coming in as analysts.
Yeah.
Like, they're coming in as analysts. We're not asking them to be our wide receivers coach. We have to come in as analysts. And so at this point, would I rather have a guy who has no ties to Florida State University and no ties to Florida even, or would I have the guy who is from, like, here? You know what I mean? Would I rather have the guy who is absolutely sitting here at, you know what I mean, who played for Florida State, who broke records here at Florida State, who then went to the NFL? Like, would I rather have that guy championing me and behind the scenes and learning to become the next wide receivers coach and become the next defensive coordinator? Or would I rather have some guy with no experience, no ties, go to Texas A&M?
I mean,
because that's what's happening. Like, we've lost two Florida State legends. Jimbo Fisher saw these guys and said, these guys are beneficial because they put me in a place, they take me to a place where I've always had ties to Florida. Now I got even more ties to Florida. And now I know for a fact this is going to hurt Florida. This is directly impacted in Florida.
Well, if you think about it like this, right? Like, I think Nick Saban hired Gilbert Arenas. Gilbert Arenas is like a defensive analyst for Alabama. He got other former players that he's hired. And I want to get into this conference, this question, this thing that this guy said about Alabama has X players donating to come back to the facility. I don't think it's the same at FSU. Can you imagine if Ramsey or Derwin James coming around the campus and chilling and donating? Okay, first of all, there's a reason why players don't come back to Florida State and donate money to Florida State. All right? And the reason is stuff like this right here. You know what I'm saying? Like, If you hired a guy like a Rashad Greene or a Nate Andrews and these type of guys, it makes those players feel like, okay, I was more than just a piece of meat that you just put on the field, and now that I'm gone, you don't care anymore. Yep. FSU don't do a good job keeping that connection with their former players. You know what I'm saying? The reason why Alabama players do that is because, think about it. Julio Jones, when he come back saying Gilbert Arenas there, offensive lineman that he played with, getting his hair cut there. He see guys that he know. He don't mind donating a couple $1 million to the facility.
Yeah, he's welcome. You know,
and it's like they all in. They all in. Alabama players are all in. They all care about each other. It's like, hey, you know, and it's like they work out with each other. You know, and it's
they're allowed on the campus. They're allowed on the campus. They're welcome there. Like, the idea that Jalen Ramsey and Derwin James don't want to come back to Florida State is not true. Jalen Ramsey is the same guy who said at the Pro Bowl, if you're not signing with Florida State, what are you doing? But so we know this ain't a guy who you know what I mean, who don't want to, who's not passionate about Florida State football. You have to be welcome.
And the thing about it is, and people, you know, made this argument with me talking about, well, you know, Peter Warg and Marvin Menace and these guys. I'm like, yeah, but those guys is all American. But people, like football players, and the way you judge your program, the way an elite player going to judge the program and how you treat players is how you going to treat the least of us. How you going to treat that guy that was just a 3-year starter that worked his ass off every day and he helped us win, but he might not been have the name recognition. How you treat that guy? Because it's been, I've heard horror stories where.
You mean like the safety? You mean like the safety who we signed and then we let go? You mean like
Nate Andrews or somebody? Like a Nate Andrews, you know, or LaMarcus Brutus, or guys like that. And I'm not saying give all the former FSU players jobs. I'm not saying that. But why not? Well, I'm just saying.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I hear what you're saying, but why not? Right.
But
like, if you're telling me you're going to pay somebody $30,000, $50,000 or whatever, right, to be an analyst. Because it's not, you're not talking about $1 million position here. Right. You're talking about teacher salary. But you're talking about teacher salary. Right. Okay, so then bring them all in. You know what I mean? Right. Because you can't have enough guys around the program who played for the program and want to give back to the program.
And you see what I mean? And that helps your message, because if you got like a Rashad Greene teaching the wide receivers how to run routes, 2-3, you know, he get him 2 or 3 wide receivers that he's teaching how to run routes and read defenses. He ain't got to be doing nothing super complicated. You know what I'm saying? It could just be very simple. Like, you know,
the rules are different too for the analysts. You know what I mean? Than for the coaches. So now at this point, you're right. He can go out there and run routes with him. You talking about time where everybody else is chilling. Rashad can call him up. Hey guys, we're going to the park. We're going to the field. We're going to wherever. You know what I mean? Like, and that then allow, and now Rashad Green can get on the phone and call Peter and call other guys. You know what I mean? The reason why there's always 1,000 Alabama players at every Alabama game, and everybody's out there, you know what I mean? Like the whole players, and they on the sideline and they coaching, and they bring, like, they not really coaching, but they kind of are coaching. You know what I mean? Like, they are part of the huddle. We having a huddle. They in there yelling in the huddle, even though they ain't part of the game.
Yeah.
It's because those guys are told, hey man, you built this program.
Yeah.
So you come back and you do whatever it is you want to do whenever you want to do it.
Yeah.
I didn't build this. I ain't part of this. I ain't got nothing to do. Like, I was just here. But when you get to this place of I'm trying to control every little piece, I'm trying to control, man, I don't care who you bring in. Give every Florida State player, whoever wants to come back here, call, hey, whenever you want to come on campus, you come on campus. You got free reign to every facility. Just, hey, you reach out to whoever's in charge of that. Make sure they got your name on there, and you come and go as you please. We'll give you a pass or whatever. Because now you get more of those players in there. And those players invite other players in there, and that's how you end up getting, like you said, investments, and you get money. Because now these players, if I'm going to invest in what I believe in, you know what I mean? I'm going to invest in where I feel welcome. The places who we talk about Chick-fil-A because Chick-fil-A gives us the best service. Yeah. So then when I decide where I'm going to eat at, I'm going to go to the place who's giving me the best service and making me feel welcome. Yeah, if I got to go, like, I love my Popeyes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I know I'm going to have to deal with some headaches when I go there. I might have to fight a cashier. So I'm a little hesitant about going to Popeyes.
Yeah.
I ain't never hesitant about going to Chick-fil-A. That's just the differences in it. But if you're telling me it's a struggle, like, all right, I got to go back to Tallahassee, and it's like, who I contact, who I need to reach out to? Am I going to have to deal with these headaches? I might have to pay for my ticket. You know what I mean? Like, all these other things that they ain't doing at other schools. They don't have this problem.
And then I've heard horror stories when guys try to come into town to watch practice, and, you know, the school won't even get them a hotel. They got to pay for their own hotel.
That's what I mean. Should not be difficult to get on.
If you think about it, like, should Jameis Winston or any offensive line that play, should Brian Stewart have to ever pay for a hotel in Tallahassee? I mean, look how much money that national championship team made for the city of Tallahassee.
Nobody on that roster should ever have to pay for anything. Forget a hotel. I'm talking about should never. Like, I'm for real. Like, if I gave you a national championship, right, in Tallahassee, I should be the man.
Yeah,
I should feel like when I come back home, hey, I know I ain't got to pay for nothing. I walk in, I'm Brian Stewart, I'm Jameis Winston. I'm signing autographs and I'm getting everything I want for free. Right. That's period. You know what I mean? And that should be the way, but they don't feel like that. They, yeah. I know we've heard they don't feel like that.
Right.
Matter of fact, we've heard the opposite. How they feel like they should, like, you mean, like, man, I'm having to pay for everything. It's a struggle. I can't even get to see practice. I'm trying to talk to kids. These are recruits when you're talking about, you know what I mean? Like, these are recruiting things. You know what I mean?
Help,
like,
they help you recruit, man.
They help you recruit. We talked about, we hinted at, you know, last week or whatever. No, they weren't really players talking with recruits outside. And, yeah, but they are, though. Those aren't necessarily, those aren't recruiting violations. These are, you know.
Former players. Yeah.
Just out there hanging. Hey, man. Oh, man, you think about coming to Florida State? That's a conversation. But those guys have to feel like they're allowed to come back on. And they got to feel like they're welcome. And they got to feel like they're supposed to. I mean, OBJ did his in the worst way possible, right? When that championship stage with cameras all around, just handing out cash. We ain't saying do that. We're not saying do that. But we are saying, but he felt a certain way. And he felt a certain, you know what I mean? He felt a certain way about, hey, I'm comfortable enough that if I feel like doing, I want to do it. And so all I'm saying is there's different levels to what you're doing. And I think Florida State is taking a poor approach. And I can see Mike Norvell trying to fix it by evidence of what we saw yesterday. Jameis was on campus. Air Freddie was on. They invited basically the 2013 championship team back.
But they weren't on campus yesterday. That was at Orlando.
That was in Orlando? Okay.
Yeah.
That was at the camp.
And like, even that right there, I would like to see that in Tallahassee.
Right, that's what I mean. But that still helps, though. You know what I mean? Having those guys talking.
Yeah, but those players, that was Kenny Shaw. Kenny Shaw did all that himself. That had nothing to do with Florida State.
I thought Florida State had something to do with it.
No, they had nothing to do with Florida State. Like, and that's what I'm talking about.
Well, but that's what you should – okay, well, then that's what you should be doing. Like, then that should be – like, when I looked it up, you know what I mean? My son's going to a Florida State camp. So when I looked it up and I said, all right, this is what should be happening. When Florida State has their camp in the middle – it's like, I think, June 9th or whatever. When Florida State has their camp, those same guys should be in Tallahassee.
Right.
My son should be able to see some of the same guys who we watch win a championship. He should be able to be like, hey, Jameis, we need you here. We need Freddie here. We need all these guys need to be there.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes sense, man. Like, that's why I was so upset last year when the whole thing happened with the DB coach, Corndog. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if he training kids in Tallahassee, why not let him use the indoor practice facility? And why wouldn't you want Corndog training your defensive backs? Why wouldn't you want that to happen?
Right, he produces.
Why would you go hire somebody from the outside when you can hire a former player that's been on coaching staffs that has this pedigree? Why not do it? Like, what? Why is that so? Like, why would you? And then you wonder why you can't get recruits. You know what I'm saying? You wonder why you have a hard time recruiting, because the former players that played at school be like, if you want to go there, I ain't saying don't go, but I ain't giving you no ringing endorsements. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So, and that's really the part of the change that Florida State, I think, needs to make.
So somebody asked, so this question, would you guys expect that to change under the new president after the run? I actually do expect for that to change. And that's one of the things that, in my opinion, I don't put that on coaches. You know what I'm saying? Like, that should be – it should be institutionalized on how you treat former players, how you treat guys that's contributed to the program. That should be – it shouldn't – like, at LSU, like, they have a long list of – they've went through 5 or 6 coaches at one time, but the players always get the same treatment. And they should get that treatment because, dude, you're handing out $1 million. People are making billions of dollars off of these kids. And all them kids are not having 5-year NFL careers, but they all contribute, though. You know what I'm saying? And like, they do deserve that stuff, man. And that's why when people talk about paying the players, that's why I'd be like, pay them, because you're not investing back in them in the way you should be. But I think with a new athletic director and a new president, if you hire the right combination, get the right type of guys that understand that, I think it can be a great thing, because if you think about it, FSU could be tapping into a lot of former players when you're talking about money. If they treated them right, they could be tapping into them with money. You know what I'm saying? So, so you know, a lot of this stuff, like when people got mad at Willie about how he treated former players, you know, Willie made
them feel comfortable.
A big deal to bring former players back. Jimbo made a big deal to bring former players back. But a coach can't be managing thousands of former players and his football team and the boosters and the AD and the upgrading facilities. Like, that's just too much for a head coach to have on his plate, point blank, period, dude. That's why I was like, he would get mad at Jimbo and Willie about certain things. I'm like, dude, everything ain't the coach's fault. He just the face. He the easiest person to blame, easy person to fire.
Right.
Like, some of this stuff should be institutionalized, man. Like, it shouldn't be this hard, you know? So,
no, I 100% agree with you. Like, I think it'll change. I think they are trying to change it, but it should be something that's just automatic. You know what I mean? It shouldn't even be something that we have to talk about. It shouldn't be something that, like, it should be a part of the program. We know when Florida State, you know what I mean? Florida State always has players. It shouldn't be like, I don't know if you got to send out an email, you got to do a blast, put it on Twitter, whatever. Just whatever happens, we need it to be very clear that Florida State players are welcome. Look at that. Look at the money that 2013. I think I saw it on, you know, you keep seeing on Twitter every time somebody gets a new contract, a player gets a new contract. That 2013 National Championship team has made over like $500 million.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want those guys to be around the camp? Like, why would you want those guys to be a part of your campus? When you look at the fact that all of those guys, like, throughout that roster, they've made over $500 million. That's money that could be going into your program to where you ain't even got to cry broke. You ain't got to play broke. You ain't got to cry broke or whatever. Wayne just posted Norvell is supposedly hosting a satellite camp with lots of schools and players and coaches. Yeah, he is. That would be the best time to reach out to former players. I agree. Have everybody. I would do, even if you want to have a 2013 National Championship Honor Day or whatever it is, we're going to invite every single player, let them show off their rings or whatever. You know what I mean? Just something that says everybody here is welcome. But these are the things, and maybe he will. You know what I mean? I can't say for sure. I'm assuming he will, because I do think it, like, I do believe he believes in players coming back. But boy, that's they got to do better at it, because you see it at every other school. Like, those guys, but you hear the horror stories at Florida State. There's one other thing, and this is a little off topic, but me and you talked about it early in the week or whatever. We're talking about Bartow. Uncle Luke basically saying, you know, thank you to Bartow for the camp information. See, this is the reason I call you the GOAT. You text, you tweet, you establish a relationship with coaches that others don't. The difference between good recruiting and bad.
Right.
We've talked about that Bartow hire, and we've talked about how important it was and how beneficial.
I felt like he was shading. I felt like he was shading people on the FSU staff.
That's exactly what that was. Which is why I said it was big. Which is why I said it's big at the fact that he's doing, you know what I mean? Because Luke had basically said, y'all don't have a role. Y'all don't have inroads anymore. So the fact that Bartow came in and is now rebuilding that relationship is a huge, we've talked about how big that offseason get is. You need that pipeline back to Miami. You need Uncle Luke's stamp. I know they talk about Uncle Luke and how he feels and so on and so forth. You need that stamp. Right. Like, you need that stamp from Uncle Luke to say, all right, we good. You know what I mean? Like, y'all good to come down here. And so when he said, when he basically gave you the stamp, okay, I appreciate the way you'd handle the business.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important, man. It's important because it's all of these things. It says that they're building, that they're doing some things the right way, or they're trying to undo some things that they may have done the wrong way in the past. Because, and it basically what he was saying was, y'all haven't been doing it the right way. Like, when you said it was shade, it was a direct shot. Yeah. Y'all were not doing, man, I control Miami. Y'all can say what you want to say, but he does. I mean, he runs the Pop Warner League, and you talk about what you want. Those kids start from Pop Warner establishment. They know who they want to go, and they know what they want to do. These kids are much more aware and have more information than they ever have in their life. So at this point, you need Luke and other folks in Miami to know that, hey, you're building the right relationships, you're building the right bridges. And, man, that Bartow hire was so important and was so big, because you can see now what the impact that he's making. You may not have been, like, a lot of people may not have been able to see the impact. That was one that I said, thank you. Like, I'm glad Luke put it out to show kind of some of the FSU fans what we've been talking about, why that was such an important hire.
Yeah, I mean, it was a dynamic hire. That was a good hire for them. I thought that was probably one of the best hires. But it just lets you know that you hired a coach that, you know, really had no clue whatsoever what this job was all about. So, but I mean, he's learning. He's correcting the mistakes.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, he's absolutely correcting mistakes, and that's a good thing. being able to understand where you have deficiencies. I thought that's what made I think that's what made Urban Meyer a really good coach. He knows what he knows, and he doesn't know what he don't know. You know what I'm saying? And so, therefore, I'm going to put all the people who know the things that I don't know. Like, I'm going to fill you in the gaps that I know that I don't know. Like, if I'm not good at this, let me hire the best person who knows how to do this. And I think he looked at it and said, I'm not good at this. I want to say I'm not good at this recruiting thing, but I don't have the recruiting ties to Florida State. I mean, to the state of Florida that I should. So, therefore, I need to – and we tried this, and we failed at it. So, now we need to find somebody who can't.
Well, you have to remember that Urban Meyer came in and evaluated that Charlie Strong probably need to stay on his staff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you have to look at things and just you have to be pragmatic about what you're trying to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and it's okay. We are where we are now, and I think Norvell's made the right decisions going into this. It's his second season. He's right or wrongs on that staff, because what you put on the field is not gonna always be good when you going through a rebuild. But let's get ready to wrap right there. I gotta go pick up my little jitterbug.
No, man. Listen, we appreciate you guys. I'm assuming we haven't seen any other questions. So listen, we appreciate you guys, Wayne, Fredo, David, everybody, man. We always appreciate you guys listening. We continue to say, man, share the pod anytime you see it. Tell your friends, tell people, other Florida State fans. We're posting now in, we're posting in on Facebook. We're on every single streaming site, whether it's Apple, Apple Music, Apple, Spotify, YouTube. You can reach us anywhere, man. Sam, stay on Twitter. I'm not as big on Twitter as that. I'm not really big on social media, period. But, you know, let's do it. You know, FSU Rose, that said Dodge Coil, let's get it. Listen, man, like I told you, we can't tell you where to invest, because if you lose your money, that's on you. But, no, man, we talked about Dodge Coil early in there. Again, like I said, we appreciate everybody who listens, man, live, everybody who goes back and listens and retweet. But make sure you retweet, you share, subscribe, like, all those things matter, man. And we appreciate you guys. As always, man, this was the Listen Up Podcast, and we out. I'm a sexy.